Hello there, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani, and you and Debbie, I think there's going to be a lot of talking going on today. We're talking about a subject that has been front and center, and we might say in our faces as Catholics, for quite a number of years now, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime real soon, unfortunately.
True. We're revisiting the priest abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. So we want to hear what you have to say about how that has affected your faith, the way you participate maybe in ministry, how you contribute to the Sunday collections. You know, has it changed the way you conduct yourselves as a Catholic Christian because of everything we've seen? And like Jerry said, it is splashed across, you know, every time the Catholic Church blinks, it makes the news. And so it's really an interesting situation for us as Catholic Christians. But, you know, there's so much hope and encouragement. And there's so many things we can do as the lay faithful. So let's talk about this. Please call in. Phone lines are already starting to ring. Ryan's going to have, it's Friday. Ryan, you thought Ryan could just say, whew, it's Friday. Nope, he's going to be working harder than ever. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, we gave Ryan a doozy today, and he's up to it. Ryan is our call screener. Rich Jesse, the producer, on the controls. Jeff Burson is going to be monitoring social media. So if you want to comment on our Facebook, EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page or YouTube channel, feel free to do that. You can email take2@ewtn.com. You can post on take2show.com. And what else? What am I missing, Debbie? You can text the letters EWTN to 55000 and watch out for a possible little data rate. But Debbie, you set it up perfectly. We want to know, we want to hear from you. Listen, this show is different from other shows. Al Cresta, Catholic Answers, EWTN News Nightly, Teresa Tomeo, they handle these items from a more in-depth perspective. We all know what's going on. We're all feeling the pain. I believe the church is on the cross right now. So you, as a Catholic, how has it affected you, if at all? Has it shaken your faith? Have you started to wonder, you know, how many of these priests were there? How many bishops and cardinals it covered up? And, you know, has it impacted your giving? Are you withholding your donations until things are cleared up? What do you say to your kids? You know, things like this. 833-288-3986.
Can I just do a little bit of just thank yous to our Take Two family? First of all, I just wanted to thank and please call in. You know, we want to talk about this in a really healthy way, so we go into the weekend with a better understanding, and we are excited and proud in a good way to be Catholic. So that's the outcome we really want from this discussion. 833-288-EWTN. I just wanted to thank a few of our Take Two family members who have been emailing us recently, just with some interesting thoughts and suggestions. First of all, Tony from Texas. Tony, thank you so much. You are the sweetest soul, and we just love you. Gigi, of course, you're always so supportive of everything we're doing on Take Two. Kelly, thank you so very much. You are up to date on the latest of everything when it has to do with the Catholic Church. We read all your emails. Thank you, Kelly. But I have to say something that I just did. I've never done this before, Jerry, and you know where I'm going with this. Kevin sent us... Right?
I didn't know where you were going, but yeah.
Well, Kevin brought it up. Kevin sent us the... I'm going to cry, and it's Friday. I don't want to cry. Kevin sent us the most beautiful email that I printed out. Kevin, just so you know, if you're listening, I printed it out. It is sitting to... I'm looking at it right now. It's about a foot away from my computer screen.
Framed and matted?
Pretty much. I have to tell you, it really is. And Kevin, thank you so much, because when I am feeling... when I'm ever in a place where I feel down, I feel like, wow, I've been doing ministry for, you know, over 30 years. I can't even do this one more day, because it's a lot, folks. It's a lot of, you know, energy output, but it's good. It's all good. I'm not complaining. I'm just going to look at the email that Kevin sent us. I'm not going to read it, folks, because it's just something that he sent from his heart to ours, but he captured our ministry mindset. And I just want to say thank you, Kevin. I'll be reading your email probably a million times. right, Jerry?
Yeah, anybody is welcome to email us, even if it's not nice stuff. If you just say something, you know, the show stinks, or, you know, you guys should do this or that, we have no problem with that, because all we do is try and put a topic out there that will be resonate in all of us in everyday life, and hope that we get out of the Holy Spirit's way. So today we're talking about the priest abuse scandal, the sex abuse scandal, the cover-ups. It was just recently, what, yesterday, Deb, or the day before, the one-year anniversary of the revelations about then-Archbishop, or actually then-Cardinal McCarrick. So it's been a painful year. And I remember, Debbie, you'll recall this. I was going through some personal issues back then, some real difficult times, and just asking God to kind of carry me through that and help me to persevere. And I remember the evening that I heard about that, I was actually getting ready to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I wept bitterly, Debbie, from deep within myself, because I thought, no, God, no, please don't let this be true. Don't let this be another, scourging of the church. And it was so bitter for me. It was so bitter for me. And I've watched mm-hmm. it unfold. And you share the same heart that I do for priesthood and the mm-hmm. church and vocations. And so what do we do about this, how are we ever going to be the same as a church? I'd love to hear somebody, say that we're going to come out of this better. If you think we're going to come out of it better, weigh in on this.
Yeah. Has this shaken your faith? Are you feeling kind of like a little bit uneasy about telling folks that you're a Catholic Christian? Let's really talk about this from a real way. Just like if you were in our virtual living room, okay, sitting down with a cup of coffee or a cool drink, and you're sitting down and we're just discussing it as Catholic Christians. 833-288-3986. If you are not Catholic, and I know you're listening to the show because we get your emails all the time, weigh in on this and share how you feel about the Catholic Church now from viewing it from, the outside and looking at it. Do you say, they're being too hard on themselves because it happens in the Christian churches and other denominations? Let's really talk about this, folks. Very important discussion. Don't get started with your weekend yet. Call in. Speak to Ryan. He's waiting to answer your call at 1-833-288-3986.
Do you know anybody who has simply said, I'm fed up, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going to be a Catholic anymore? Maybe we all do. People are often looking for a reason, but I'll tell you, there don't have to be really any other reasons other than this scandal. For some people, simply, Debbie, to look at it and say, this is not a church I want to belong to. I think there's a deficiency of knowledge or catechesis of what the church is, because we know. I saw Robert Barron on EWTN News Nightly the other day. He says, one thing we have to understand, there is never a reason, a good reason, to leave the church. There's understanding why some people do, but there's never a good reason. So we want to talk about all this, and the lines have blown up. So we're going to get to your calls at 833-288-3986. Stay with us.
In just a minute, I just wanted to share real quickly that we would like you to join us for the Sunday Mass at a special time this Sunday only. We'll broadcast the Mass on the Solemnity of Corpus Christi from the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville at 10 a.m. Eastern Time this Sunday only. Very important, folks, and it's going to be on EWTN Radio and TV. So please join us for this special Mass time, and a special location. And Jerry, you feel the same way I do. Hanceville is absolutely, how do you describe it?
Heaven on earth. It's heaven on earth.
Heaven on earth. Yep. Love it.
Okay, today we are taking more of a, grassroots, real man, every man, every woman, look at the pre-sex abuse scandal and, how it impacts us, really from the time we put our feet on the floor till the time we put our head on the pillow at night, day-to-day living, and how we're doing with all of this, holding on to our faith, maybe getting some attacks on our faith by Catholics or non-Catholics or non-Christians. So it's an important conversation. We get Maureen will lead us off. She is in Absecon, New Jersey. If I said that right, she's listening to Take Two on the EWTN app. Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to start off by saying that this whole awareness of the corruption, the moral corruption within our leadership, has only increased and invigorated my faith. Of course, I'm brokenhearted, but my faith has increased because mostly for decades I've watched oblivious, disconnected Catholics. Like, I would see things in the church. I'm like, why aren't people speaking about this? Why aren't people outraged? And it was like, they're just like, go along to get along. And as we know, there's no saints go along to get along. And if you love the truth, And if you love the church, this is an opportunity to be bold and to protect the truth so that generations that come can have the true faith, and that those who have been wounded can see that their brothers and sisters are fighting for the truth, and the victims are still in the background as we all talk about, you know, this bishop and this bishop, and why aren't they doing this? It's like still, the victims are still like secondary, which is outrageous. I think that we have to stop bowing to the corrupt clergy and giving them benefit of the doubt, benefit of the doubt, benefit of the doubt, to the point that we are basically enabling this corruption to continue. We're enabling the evil by backing down and sweeping things under the rug and being like obedient little minions. That has to stop. We are for Jesus. So, I mean, if we were bold and if we saw this as an opportunity for purification and we were part of the solution, we would be on the front lines of the battle. And we wouldn't be sitting back, like, making comparisons. Well, the Catholic Church, the corruption, I mean, the abuse is equal to public schools. What? We're supposed to be leading the culture, not equal to the culture. Stop
right,
making
right.
strange, false comparisons. It's like we are the Church of Jesus Christ, and my brothers and sisters who love the church will stand boldly in battle and not make false comparisons and not give any more credence or excuses to wolves in shepherd's clothing who have led us astray, because all we're doing is enabling them to continue in false teaching.
Right.
We can't do it. We love our church.
Well, Maureen, thank you for your passion and thank you for your love of the church. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit to be able to maintain this, not only maintain your faith, but as you said, grow deeper as a Catholic. That's absolutely beautiful. And I think I'll let Debbie speak for herself, but I agree the days are gone when we can just kind of give every clergyman a pass, if you will. I think we need to avoid this painting with a broad brush when it comes to suspicion, because we all know, I know, Debbie knows, I'm sure you do, Maureen, you know, good priests who are really suffering right now because of what their brothers have done. So we want to keep them in mind as well. But the timing of your call is interesting, and the timing of the show, I didn't really realize it. I had dinner last night with the associate pastor of a parish nearby. It's not the parish I belong to, but he is a Nigerian priest, and he's been here about a year. And I have fallen so in love with him and his preaching that I go to that parish now for the 4 p.m. Sunday Mass. And we went to dinner last night. He chose, so we went to a Chinese buffet. Debbie, he selected it, not me. It wasn't my decision. and we were talking about this. And he simply said, he says, I am up there. I have an obligation to present the truth. He says, I'm not concerned with what people think of me, if they think highly of me or lowly of me or whatever. He says, I have to stand before God. And I'll tell you, Maureen and Debbie, he preaches hell and he preaches heaven and he preaches doing God's will. He preaches conversion. He preaches sacrifice. So there are some great ones out there, Debbie. And, you know, with Maureen's prayers and all of our prayers, not only can we see more of this, but the men coming up as well. Debbie, you know, we're excited about that. So anyway, I could go on and on. I was hosting this show in my sleep all night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you were.
I'm pumped up for this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're the founder and host of Vocation Boom. So, of course, vocations is something near and dear to your heart, and it's very important. Maureen, I just wanted to just simply, I can't add a word that Jerry said, but I feel your passion on this. And, you know, you were given a platform this morning to lead us off in this discussion, and you did it so beautifully. I actually texted over to Jerry. I said, wow, Maureen is amazing. That's exactly how I feel about you. Please keep sharing this with others and get others to feel empowered and have that sense that they can speak the truth, they can be bold in their faith, and they can hold people accountable. So I think, Maureen, you have a lot of good things to say, a lot of productive things to say, and I think it's helpful that we have these conversations. The last thing we need to do is hide behind the sins. We need to expose everything, speak the truth. The truth will set you free. The Bible doesn't lie. And you know, Satan wants us to just kind of go into hiding. Absolutely not. Let's get it all out into the open. So Maureen, thank you so very, very much.
Appreciate the call and getting us started here, Maureen, in New Jersey, 833-288-3986. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is your show, so we're asking your takes on where you are, overall in your you know, psychologically, emotionally, in your faith, your spiritual life, your giving to the church? Where are you right now with regard to how the church has handled the sexual abuse crisis, which of course dominated the recent general meeting of the bishops in Baltimore? We're going to hear from Cheryl next in Dallas, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Better now that you called. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to join with you, and I want to say thank you for all that you do to bring the truth to all of us listeners out here.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this, Cheryl?
My thoughts are when the scandal first broke out, I was really disheartened, but it has only made me stronger in my faith. And I look at it from the point that all of us Catholics, there's some of us that are lukewarm in our faith and, you know, we don't really say or do much. We go to church, but we just kind of are robots. And I think this one of many issues that confronts our church today is causing Catholics to take a stance and to either step up to the plate and become more involved with their parishes and to see that things that Jesus' teachings go forward and that we do what he says and just not, you know, shake our heads yes, but that we actually do what they say. So for myself, and I know for a lot of other people, I can say the same thing. I am now more active in my faith than I ever have been, and I am glad that this has been exposed. And I pray for my priests that, you know, and I see a lot of new ones, young ones coming up are so grounded in their faith. And I think, you know, the church, you know what, we're weathering this storm and we're going through it, and we'll come out ahead, even closer to our Lord. So that's pretty much it.
Couldn't agree more, Cheryl. I totally agree with you. And Jerry and I, we get the privilege and the honor of traveling around to different radio stations, helping them with their pledge drives. And we see the seminarians. We get to meet them. They come into the studio and they're sometimes on the air for the pledge drive weeks. And I'll tell you, Cheryl, we're very just excited and encouraged, and we just feel super proud of these young men that have stepped up and said, yes, I am going to keep the faith going, defend the faith. I'm going to be the next, you know, generation of priests, and they're strong and they are solid. They're rooted in their faith. They're very balanced. They know their limitations. They know their weaknesses. Beautiful, young, strong men that are coming in. And I'll tell you, I agree with you, Cheryl. I think we're just going to have a tighter, stronger, maybe a little smaller, but stronger church. I agree. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I think Pope Emeritus Benedict has talked about that. The church of the coming days will not necessarily be a large church in number, but it's going to be a vibrant church in faith and in, you know, witness and evangelization. So I really do believe that is coming as well. And God bless all the priests who have held down the fort for the last few decades. Mm-hmm. And I mean no, take nothing away from them. But the young men who are coming up today, there's something going on. Boston just ordained 13 young men. Portland, Oregon has ordained 50 within about 5 years. My diocese has 50 seminarians.
Phoenix is on fire.
Phoenix is
well.
On fire.
Mm-hmm.
Folks,
Cleveland,
you don't hear this news. You mm-hmm. don't hear, they, Debbie, people don't hear this. Except mm-hmm. on Catholic radio. So hold your heads up and be confident, be faithful, be bold, be strong, be Catholic right now. These men are going to need our support. There were two seminarians at Mass last week. They're in between their school year and the summer assignment. And the priest introduced them, Debbie, at Mass. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know me. I went up to them after Mass and talked to them. And actually, it was kind of cute. One of them says, are you Mr. Usher? He goes, I've been watching Vocation Boom TV on EWTN for many years. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, you know, I was very humbled by that. But I just simply, as I left them, I said, I'll be praying for you guys. I said, you know what you're getting into, right? You know what you're going in for.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of looked at me with a half nervous look on their face, kind of cracking mm-hmm. a little bit of a grin. I said, all right, you guys know. You know the mm-hmm. climate out there. And they both said, yeah, we know it. We know what it's like, and we're going for it. So
yeah,
These men, so many young women, you know, becoming religious now,
too.
So, yeah. A lot of good
and
things
the deacons,
happening.
The diaconate is exploding and in a great way. So many deacons are stepping up. A lot of strong men saying, I'm ready to take on this. And wow, Jerry, I mean, this is exciting. And you're right. You don't hear this in the secular media. So stay tuned in to Catholic radio and television and you'll hear the truth. Thank you again, Cheryl. God bless you for your take on this. And thank you for being a first time caller. We so appreciate it. Okay. Do we have time? We have time for Rob before the break. Okay. Rob in Memphis, Tennessee on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Rob. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Doing well, Rob. How about yourself?
Life is good even on a bad day.
Oh, good. Praise God for that.
Listen, this is happening right now. Over the centuries, we've had pitfalls in the Catholic Church, and every time we come out of those pitfalls a little bit stronger. And now that we're in the generation where we have anything and everything available to us, finding out that the communists had a little bit to do with infiltrating our seminaries to try to take down the Catholic Church, and we finding out about it and attacking it, this comes out now, and we're going to be stronger. We have young priests today that are so reverent. I serve Mass a couple days a week, and to kneel up there on the altar with these young priests and look at their face and look at the incredible reverence they have as they're consecrating the host is just surreal almost. And so if anything, we're going to come out of this so strong. And as you say, maybe smaller, but I don't even know how much smaller. I'm not seeing in Memphis, I'm not seeing that many people just saying, well, the heck with this, I'm leaving. We have Christ in our church every day. Why would we ever leave?
Good question. Very good question. And that's kind of, you know, we were talking about before what Bishop Barron is saying. You know, he says there's never a good reason to leave the church. There may be a lot of conditions that cause people to lean that way, but because of the Eucharist, and let us not forget, in John chapter 6, Debbie, you know this, and also, Rob, you know this, that, you know, that was really, in the Bible, one of the, maybe if it's not the only place Jesus' disciples leave him, it is the high point of departures of his followers, Deb, because he was preaching this radical teaching on the Eucharist, and the church teaches radical things. And we have to dispose ourselves to that and humble ourselves enough to say, this is what I'm going to follow because my Lord, my Master, my Creator died for me, and this is how He wants me to live now.
Exactly. And you know, Rob, as you were speaking, I was thinking about the idea. I'm getting ready to do this Angels and Demons conference in Spring, Texas next week. So that's why I have this on my mind. But I'll tell you what, Rob, it's so true. You know, Satan is not going to let us fly under the radar. The Catholic Church has the fullness of truth. The Catholic Church is just an incredible way to get closer to God, okay? To be united with God. It's ultimately to be in union with God. And Satan's not going to let that pass. So of course he's going to play on everybody's weaknesses. Of course he's going to find every crack to worm his way in. Of course he's going to expose all our deepest, darkest sins. And you know what? Let's get him out into the open and start fresh. And let's be bigger and bolder and wiser. And you're right, Rob. I mean, this is a time to be really excited because we do believe we have the truth. And that's an important thing. Right, Jer?
Yep.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Rob.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob, for
never
the call there.
Never give it up.
Never give it up. Absolutely. That is a motto that we all need to live by. Thanks, Rob. We've got Melissa, Matthew, Ricardo, Marianne. Who else? There's a couple other calls being screened. Ryan's busy today. We told you Ryan would be busy, but he is up to the challenge. He is the best call screener that this show has. 833-288-3986. He's an awesome call screener from other shows as well.
Abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. Church today, and we do have full phone lines. We'll get right back to them. But, Jerry, I just wanted to say, Rob has really ignited kind of a fire in my spirit. You know, I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be cool to be wearing T-shirts or something like, you know, we have Jesus, you know, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most blessed sacrament. I mean, how amazing is that? You know, it's so true. I mean, Rob just nailed it. And I just thank you again, Rob. We all needed to hear that. We need to hear that on a constant basis, because we can become, you know, kind of lax Catholics at times, you know, just by getting caught up in the world. So this is a very healthy discussion, a great one to start in going into the weekend, Jerry, because when we all get prepared for Mass, maybe we'll all go in with a different mindset.
Yeah, and we encourage you, many of you are watching on EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page and their YouTube channel. Debbie and I have this little Facebook page also out there on the internet, and we would just love to have you connect with us. It's just at Jerry and Debbie, and it's all, I guess it's all one word, isn't it? I mean, it's not
Jerry
one word,
Debbie?
It's three words that are all one word.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just,
J&D logo.
Yeah, I don't know if there's spaces in the, but it's, you know, Jerry and Debbie, look at our Facebook page, sign up, and that way, you know, you can keep in touch with EWTN on their Facebook page, and of course, we will be cross, you know, promoting things and all that, but we'd love to have you on our Facebook page too as well. So check that out today if you can. Okay.
Please do so. Melissa is up next in Georgia, St. Paul Radio. Hi, Melissa. Welcome.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, I'm completely saddened that the clergy took advantage of our trust in them. And by extension, you know, our trust in God. But that said, you know, I'd like your advice. I have a close friend who's a beautiful person, so giving, cradle Catholic, and she divorced her husband because he was a vet from Vietnam. He came back, and he was literally drugged out, and he remains institutionalized. He was doing drugs in front of the kids. It couldn't work. But she said during the annulment process, they wanted her to basically say things about him that she was like, he's not a bad man. He just, you know, is addicted to drugs. But all that said, she remained Catholic. But after this, she called me and she said, I'm done. I'm done. The fact that they're committing these sexual offenses and then covering it up, and I can't get the Eucharist. I'm out of here. And I don't know what to say to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say to her to bring her back. And I wanted to say also, I also live in New York City. I go to Mass up there. I don't even know I'm in a Catholic church. Here in Georgia once, and it is Orthodox down here in Augusta, thank God, there was a missionary priest that came to Evans, Georgia. He preached Orthodox Catholicism in a very large church in Evans, Georgia. You could have heard a pin drop. People want Orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
They want it. But we
want
need
the truth.
It from
mm-hmm.
our clergy. They right, and but get rid of these priests that are doing this. Get them out. I'm sorry. Let's forgive them, but get them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But
what do I say to this friend, though, too?
Right.
I love your advice on that.
Oh, okay. So a couple things. First of all, please tell your friend, our hearts just break because, you know, she has such a love for the Eucharist. She's been dealt this situation with her husband, and it's really unfortunate. And that's why I would say to folks when they think that annulments are handed out very quickly, that's not exactly a true statement. It can be very difficult to go through the annulment process. So I would just, what I would do, Melissa, is I would encourage your friend to get someone else at the church or another church nearby that she could sit down and talk to. She needs a few different voices helping her through this because she does have a strong connection and love for the Eucharist. She should not walk away from that. Okay. She's not going to get that elsewhere. And that's unfortunate. And she loves the Eucharist. Now to compare it to say, well, all these priests are doing these bad things. And so I can't even do this. Okay, okay, you can't, it's hard to do that because you can do that with anything, okay? It's very hard to compare that. Let's just talk about your friend's situation. She deserves to talk to other people in the church, other leaders in the church, priests, deacons, religious, that can be a better advocate for her, okay? Sometimes the advocates that sign up in the annulment process, they're not fully versed in different ways. They're not even sure on how to properly present the case sometimes. I'm not trying to discredit anybody, but I just want to say that you can get another advocate, and your friend deserves that. She should not walk away from the truth. She should not walk away from what we just said, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior. And please encourage her to go back and talk to someone else if you can. Also, I would pray, like Jerry said, he just texted over a lady undoer of knots. Pray that novena for your friend. Also pray to your guardian angel to talk to her guardian angel so that she can be guided and she can be aware of people coming into her view that can help her through this. But please tell her, if you turn your back on the Eucharist, okay, if you really had a true understanding of the Eucharist and love for the Eucharist, you would never turn your back, no matter what. Okay, but if you're going to do that, if you're going to sacrifice the ability to be exposed to the Eucharist, okay, you're opening yourself up to a whole host of other spiritual problems because you're walking away from the truth. You're walking away from it. So I hope I'm not rambling, but my heart breaks for your friend, Jerry.
Well, what I would suggest, I always love to go back to Scripture. And I would encourage Melissa, maybe your friend is probably aware of these passages in John chapter 6 where Jesus really, he just drills into his apostles, his disciples, his followers, that his flesh is food and drink, his blood is drink indeed, the Eucharist, the sacred species as they're consecrated in the Mass. And it's all through John chapter 6. And maybe encourage her to not just read it, but pray over it. Read the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, then set the Bible down, quiet herself, maybe go to an adoration chapel and say, Jesus, speak to me about this. I need to know that you're real, that this is true. Intellectually, we can know that all the time, but sometimes we need our hearts flooded by the grace of God to where we go, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is real. I can't walk away from this.
Can't walk away.
So right. We're going to be praying for your friend, Melissa. You're doing a great job of being a real support to her and encourage her. And it sounds like, you know, maybe a little more divine help, wouldn't hurt. So as Debbie said, pray that Our Lady Undoer of Knots Novena. And if she is open to reading and praying John 6 in a chapel, maybe before the Blessed Sacrament, hopefully exposed, what Jesus can do amazing things.
Miraculous.
And he will. We know that he will.
What do you think, Melissa? Did those few tidbits help?
They did. I will do all that. And she's such a beautiful person. It's actually a hurt to us Catholics that she's not there anymore. I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So I really want her back. And I just quickly wanted to say that the prior callers, they really, really were wonderful. Just how they're like, hey, listen, this is going to increase, has increased my faith. I want those people that called in to know that, you know, I was really glad to hear that because I needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yep. Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a glorious weekend.
Yeah. Thanks, Melissa. Okay. We have a line open there. 833-288-3986. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. Getting your takes today on, sort of the fallout of the priest sex abuse and cover-up scandal, the Theodore McCarrick situation. Now we're hearing, Pope Francis knew things, and when did he? And there's just obfuscation going on. And you know what, Debbie? I'm not going to say it. Let's go to, I'll type it over to you, and you can tell me if I should say it or not.
Okay. Hey, Jerry, can I ask you a quick question? Something circulating on Facebook. Is it true? I can't find a confirmation on it. Did Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th suffer any medical issue, like a mild stroke?
Well, it's funny,
something.
When you said that on the show the other day, I think yesterday, and I actually looked it up. I just did a search online, yeah. Pope Benedict illness, and nothing came up. About anything that has recently occurred. So
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
It, It could be, in fact, a wonderful lady named Donna. Donna, if you're listening, she has encouraged us to do a show on fake social media news about the church and how we get sucked into that sometime. I'm not saying you're sucked into something false here, Debbie, but...
No. I'm asking you. And actually, yeah. Gigi just weighed in. She said, no, it was a rumor. So it was a rumor. See, we got to be careful on Facebook because here everybody is... I mean, it's great to pray for Pope... Benedict the 16th. Of course, we should always be praying for our popes and our priests. But yeah, see, that's yeah. Thank you, Gigi, for confirming that.
Yeah, Catholic News Agency, a service of EWTN. We were just given by Jeff, our social media guy, says CNA. According to the CNA, Vatican quashes rumors of Benedict the 16th stroke.
Oh,
so that's good. That's
God.
Good news. He's
praise
amazing.
God. Okay.
Is he just amazing? His longevity. Wow.
Oh, I just love him. Absolutely love him. I love the picture of him praying the rosary as he's walking along the streets of Rome. I just love that. That's so beautiful. Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We're going to go back to your calls. Matthew, thanks for holding on in Columbus, Ohio. You're on take two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie.
So, hi, Matthew.
Michael. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. So my whole take is a little bit different on this. I'm not one of these apologetics type of people. I'm a polite person, I'm a civilized person, and I'm a religious person. But I'm also an instigator for good. So my whole attitude on this thing is, look, our clergy has made some mistakes. The bad apples have to get rooted out, and I don't care if it's the Pope. If that turns out to be, he's got to go. But quit apologizing. And reference to your last caller, she needs to go challenge her spiritually and say, look, your displeasure with how the situation is being handled, if you're going to put your faith on hold or you're going to walk away because of what a couple of bad apples did, you're saying that your displeasure with clergy is greater than your faith in God, and you're going to walk away from your. That's the way I see it. And you just need to hardcore challenge them back and say, what's more important? Speak it out.
Yeah.
Let's get justice. Let's demand that these people. And if they have to go to the criminal courts and you know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, or give the Caesar what is Caesar's, well, Caesar is in charge of immigration laws, which the Catholic Church tries to ride both sides of that. They say support civil law, but we want all these illegal immigrants because they're going to donate to the Catholic Church. That's
right,
a whole separate issue. I don't want to get there. But we're riding both sides of that, and it's like morally ambiguous the way we have that attitude. And the same with this. We our leadership has been morally ambiguous, and it's got to get more black and white. If you've done wrong, you've got to leave the church.
Well, you have to be held accountable for it. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be accountable for it. And that's actually, you know, I had concerns back in, what was it, Debbie, 2002 when the Dallas Charter came out about the protection of children and minors. And
right.
I studied that a little bit, not in depth.
Well.
And I thought, the thought that occurred to me, it struck me, and I never really said this publicly on the air or anything because I didn't have a well-formed sense of this whole idea, and I didn't know this was all going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I noticed it, and I said, there's nothing in here for bishops, you know, to hold bishops accountable. And now, you know, we're paying the price for that. And Matthew, I think, is right. You know, we've got to have justice in this. The only caveat I would give there, Matthew, and I'm sure you agree with me, we now have, what, FBIs and law enforcement agencies raiding dioceses and stuff. So I think there's got to be a line there where they, you know, the church has to be forthcoming. But I'm a little bit afraid, Debbie, if this notion of turning everything over and transparency and all this turns into this feeding frenzy on the part of law enforcement agencies, the FBI making raids, hauling people away. Maybe that's what we need. I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with you, Matthew, at all. I'm just issuing this little bit of a caution that my heart is feeling right now. What do you think, Deb?
I would agree with that. And let's keep in mind that there's false allegations and accusations towards priests and bishops all the time too. So, you know, there's so many things playing factors here that can be really destructive for all of us, you know, in the sense that it kind of will shake our foundation, if you will. But I do believe that, you know, if things are confirmed, if they are exposed, you know, unfortunately, and this is my personal opinion, Matthew, tell me if you disagree. I think these men need to be out of ministry, active ministry. They need to be out. They need to be in a place where they can just be in a prayerful mode. Prayer and penance, the rest of their vocation. I'm sorry to say that, but you know what? You did the crime. You got to do the time. Prayer time will be helpful to their soul and to others. What do you think, Matthew?
Oh, no, I fully agree with that. And my whole thing about turning people over to criminal courts, I'm saying we voluntarily turn ourselves or our underlings or our superiors over, but I'm not recommending that, you know, they come into our church and invade us from the inside out and look and investigate, because that's separation of church and state is gone, man, and that just can't be tolerated.
Right.
And, you know, look at the light. Look at the light of the whole situation yesterday with the Supreme Court ruling and the Bladensburg cross. I was in Bladensburg 2 days ago, and it was so uplifting to hear that news yesterday.
Yep.
That Christian cross is going to be able to stand and be maintained with public funds. And the majority is allowed to speak without kowtowing to these militant secularists. So there is hope for Christianity and Catholicism. We don't need to apologize for being who we are.
Amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We celebrated as well, by the way,
yeah,
Matthew.
Everything you said,
that.
We agree with. And Matthew, please know, I was not implying that you were advocating for invasions of our churches or chanceries or anything like that. I was just simply saying it has happened on a couple of occasions. And, you know, unfortunately, when the secularists, and anti-church forces, you know, when they get the smell of blood, if I can put it that way, they're just nothing to stop them. So we can hope and pray that won't come to that. But, yes, we have to be anybody who is guilty of the abuses themselves, cover-ups, implicated in any way. These are civil crimes as well, mm-hmm, as canonical crimes. And I love what you said, Debbie. They should be required to be never again in ministry and be in a place of prayer and penance, not tucked away on a hammock on a beach somewhere. You know, they have, mm-hmm, to go into a life of prayer and penance, because
it'll help their soul.
Yeah, exactly. With our understanding of holy orders and how a man is conformed to Christ in a very, mm-hmm, real way, a metaphysical way,
mm-hmm,
they're a priest forever. It is easy for a priest to attain salvation, Saint Alphonsus Liguori says, but it's also very, very hard for a priest to attain salvation if he errs. And the sins that you and I commit, if a priest commits many of those same sins, it's like we stub our knee and he falls from a 10-story building and dies,
right,
because he has been elevated to a celestial place in persona Christi. So I'm going to say what I always say, let's have justice, but let's pray for these men and their souls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm hogging.
No, not at all, Jerry. Not at all. Okay, so let's move on to, thank you again, Matthew. God bless you. Thank you for your take on this. Ricardo in El Paso, Texas on Sirius XM 130, another first-time caller. Hi, Ricardo. Thank you and welcome.
Well, hello there. Hopefully everything's going okay with you all. I listen to this radio station when I'm on the go. Yesterday afternoon, I was going to Walgreens to buy something, and there was a rosary that was being said, and I pulled over to the parking lot, and I just recited the rosary along with the individual that was saying it. Eat Deadly Twin was founded by Sister Angelica, and she did a terrific job. But a little bit of background on me, and then I'll start with what I have to say. I was brought up Catholic. My mom, I would always say, make the sign of the cross when you go outside in the morning, at night, when you go to the shower, where you're going to start something. Always make the sign of the cross, pray to God for protection. My grandmas would always teach us about their experiences. One particular grandma always prayed for the poor souls in purgatory because she was telling us that no one really prays for them. I mean, not no one, but hardly anybody prays for them. But she did say that there were times when souls would visit her and thank her, but she would never hold out her hand to touch, and she would just say, you know, go in peace with God. And I had another great-grandma that used to take me to religion classes. So my foundation was within the family. Now, talking about our great country, the greatest generation was hardworking, believe in God. They believe in doing what needs to be done, not crying or moaning. They just did the work. I believe, my opinion, that in the 60s is when I believe our country, our morals, and that's when when the devil took a great foothold on our society. The Congress that we have now and we have had in the past years has led us to where we're at, this exceedingly liberal thought. And, hey, you know, do what you want.
Ricardo, if I can jump in just for a second. We got very little time left. We want to get to another caller or two. Hate to rush you. If you can condense your point on the topic today, that would be awesome, because you're giving great information, and I'm sure it's leading up to a very, very cogent point to make on the program. If you can do that, we'd appreciate it.
I sure will. The point being is that we are individually responsible to God. We are collectively responsible to our nation. And no one should get us away from that. When we meet up with God, he's going to say, Ricardo, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? He's not going to say, who influenced you? And why did you go here and there? So that's the point. I believe in God. I don't believe all the things that the priests say. I question it. But my belief is in God. That's what we need to do. And one lasting correction to Debbie. Are you coming in to Texas? It's really not Texas. Some of us call it the Republic of Texas.
Oh, okay.
That's an inside joke. We're very yeah. proud that we were a republic, but... Yeah, that's about it, folks.
Well, Debbie,
I don't even have
well,
other
I am.
Powers.
You got to remember that, Debbie, on your trip, and get yourself a nice cowboy hat. Maybe Father Mitch can give you some guidance on getting a nice cowboy hat.
Oh, I'm totally going to take in everything Texas. Absolutely, Ricardo. I'm coming in next Friday at Spring, Texas, at the Angels and Demons Conference, fullnessoftruth.org. Folks, it's a two-day conference. Adam Bly, Father Seitz, it's going to be amazing. Ricardo, thank you so much. You're a beautiful soul. Thank you for your take on this. This is great. Jerry, we're learning. I took, as Ricardo was speaking, I took a half a page of notes on what he said. Amazing. Great catechesis.
You are a copious note taker. So thanks, Ricardo. All right. As we try and squeeze some more in here, we're going to go to, let's go to Pam in Detroit, listening on Sirius XM 130. Pam, we got about 90 seconds for you to kind of try and be concise if you can, please.
Okay, I just want to say that if we were to leave our church, then we become part of the problem, not part of the solution. It's our responsibility to support the many, many priests out there. If there were one priest who were sexually abusing children, that would be one too many. So I'm not condoning that. And as previous callers have said, get the bad apples out. Let's go forward. But there are so many really wonderful priests out there that need our support, and it would be absolutely a shame to walk away from our parish family. The Catholic Church is our family, and just like in our own personal families, I'm sure there's many of us that know people who have been, who have known people who are sexually abused, and that's been things that are kept super, super quiet. So I'm not condoning any of that. But to say we're leaving because of that, I think, is a real cop-out. We need to be there protecting and supporting our priests, who there are so many that are so great. So, again,
great
I would say
great
be
point.
Part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think, Deb?
And oh, absolutely, Pam. And with prayers, you know, our priests are constantly and our bishops are constantly asking for our prayers. They need our prayers. Okay. They're fighting a lot and it's important. So Pam, I agree with you. And if you're looking for an excuse to leave the church, Jerry, you know, the priest abuse scandal, there's your excuse right there. Okay. But if you have a full understanding of the faith and what we believe as Catholic Christians and you believe it's the way, the truth, the life going towards Jesus, you believe it's the way to go. Then you know what? You don't have an excuse. We have to stay rooted and be the best Catholic Christians we can possibly be. That's how I feel, Jerry. Pam, you're so right.
Yeah, thank you, Pam, for the call. And Jane, Marianne, Doug, John, and one other being screened right now. Well, we're not going to have time for your calls today. We would love to have another opportunity to talk with you about this. So we will revisit this topic again very, very soon because, as we said at the start of the show, Debbie, it's not going away in the next 48 hours
yeah,
or 48 years maybe. So let's keep praying.
But I think that was a great... Jesus founded this church. I mean, it's... what more can you say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and to all who made the points about, you know, the justice needs to be done and all that, absolutely. But I think I'm glad we ended on that call that we did because it's a positive call. We are... I've never been more proud to be Catholic.
Me too.
You know, proud in a holy good way, I hope. And Debbie, I know you are too. So to anyone, if you have left the church, if you're considering leaving the church over the abuse scandal, talk to others who have not left and have not left because they know they belong here and see if that doesn't change your mind and your heart.
Amen to that. Best of on Saturday, do you worry what others think of you? Great show. That's the best of on Saturday. And on Monday, have you needed a wake-up call by God? We're going to be talking about that on Monday. So, folks, Jerry and I just want to wish you a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.